I wonder if many people in our world today has truly forgotten what impurity really means. I want us to take a look today from in a lesson from God's Word as we talk about impurity, not a Christian virtue. We have people in the religious world today that sadly have added to so many different things and taken away from so many different things that you and I should be involved in, things that we should be engaged in as we are walking in our life toward Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. And sadly, so many things are bringing reproach upon the church, bringing reproach upon themselves. In our world today, we know that there are several synonyms for the word impurity. We know that in our day, many folks refer to impurity as, maybe you've heard this word before, unclean. You ever heard that word being used? We know uncleanliness is part of that. There's another word that people use. It's called filthy. We have, sadly, we've got people in our world today that live filthy lives. You know, they call themselves a child of God, and yet they go around and live a life that bringing that reproach upon themselves, bring reproach upon the church, bring reproach upon the name of the Lord because they're living a filthy life. Sadly, we have people that refer to it as the word nasty. You know, and you've heard that before. Maybe you and I have even uttered that word before as we talk about a situation that someone may be in. And I've had a person in this congregation 2 to 3 weeks ago that used this particular word and said, she is in a nasty situation. And folks, that's pretty dangerous when we think about those things. Then we talk about a word corrupt. We talk about how many times we say, well, our government is corrupt. And sometimes we find congregations that are corrupt. We see marriages that are corrupt. We see people's lives that are corrupt. And then we have people that use the word obscene. Boy, he or she used some obscene language. You know, obscene, not fit for what God wants. Then there's the word lewdness that people can consider. How about this one? Offensive. He or she's very, very offensive. And the list just continues on and on and on with whatever an individual wants to use or whatever a person, a word that they want to use to describe the word impurity. But I want to share with you today that whichever word you're using, and I know that list is not limited to all the words that are out there, but I want you to remember, and I need to remember as well, that none of these words, not one of these words, fits in our walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to be certain that we are living a life of purity. I am convinced by the Scripture that you and I must strive every single day to abstain from things that can lead us to living a life of impurity, living a life that is not pleasing and acceptable to Almighty God. I think about how today, sadly, so many people limit themselves to their service for Jesus Christ. They limit themselves as to what they're going to do for God. But then I turn right around and I think about what Jesus has done for you and what He's done for me. And Jesus didn't limit Himself, did He? Jesus gave every single thing that He possibly could. But sadly, people were allowing the impure things of the world to enter their lives, to derail their thoughts, and send them sideways, take them off the track of what they should be doing in their walk with Jesus Christ. I appreciate so much what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. If you don't mind, take a look at that with me. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at 17 through 23. The Bible says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free," the Bible says, "from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness," the Bible says, "for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things," the Bible says, "is what? But now, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God," and watch this, "and your fruit to holiness and in everlasting life. For the wages," the Bible says, "of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I can't help but to think about what the Bible says over in the book of James chapter 1, down in verse 27, where the Bible says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself, here's you another word, unspotted from the word. That means the impurity. Don't allow the things of the world to come in and contaminate your life. Listen, it should be every single faithful Christian's desire to live a life that is pleasing unto God. Don't limit yourself in your walk with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Don't put limitations on what you'll do for Christ Jesus. He didn't put limitations on his life for us. We need to be sure that we are living for him, recognizing and remembering, Brother Jerry, that impurity is not a Christian value or virtue. Does that make sense? Say that with me. Impurity is not a Christian virtue. So this morning, as we consider our 3 points, I want us to think about this word impurity, and I want us to remember that it is indeed not a Christian virtue. The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. What are some of the different kinds of impurity? Some would say, well, impurity is impurity, but I believe that there's different forms of impurity. I'm convinced, according to the Scripture, that the Bible lists many different things that can be considered impure. Obviously, we cannot cover all of that because of the restrictions of time, but we can take a peep at the Scripture and see what the Bible's showing as impurity. So what are some of the kinds of impurity? There are many things in our world today that people involve themselves in that you and I both know would be considered impure. I think about what the Bible says in the book of Exodus. This is a subject that many ministers won't touch. This is a subject that many preachers will not talk about because they're afraid if someone is in the congregation that's in violation, oh, they could hurt feelings. It's in the Bible. It's got to be preached. Amen? I love what the Bible says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, down in verse 14. The Bible says, you shall not commit what? Yet there are countless people in our world today that involves themselves, brothers and sisters, in such an act, and sadly, they look very lightly upon it. Let me remind you that God does not look lightly on the misuse of sex outside the marriage or inside the marriage. Amen? He doesn't look lightly on it. I don't know when the last time a Bible class teacher has taught on it. I don't know when the last time a pulpit minister has talked about it. But it obviously is not being preached about because there are far too many people today that's looking very lightly upon what the Bible says. There are people today that'll have an adulterous relationship without any thought at all. You better get to thinking about what impurity really means. Because how much impurity is going to be in heaven? Zero. Say that with me. Zero. None. So let's take a look at our lives. Let's make sure that we find out, hey, am I putting myself in a situation that could lead to adultery? Am I putting myself in a situation that is slowly but surely growing into that? If it is, get out of it. If you're involved in your job and you've got a little chickadee you're talking to or you got some fellow you're talking to, you better end it right now. Don't you go any further because I'm going to tell you something. It may seem awfully innocent today, but tomorrow you're going to be on your knees and you're going to be begging God for forgiveness. Do you understand? The Bible says it's wrong. Impurity, it's no good. It will not be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. And don't think that this adultery is just a sexual act outside of the marriage. Adultery is when you share your heart with the devil as well. Do you understand that? It is not just that sexual act. It is going against the will of Almighty God. The Bible says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? This side, do we understand that? Absolutely. So let's be certain, brothers and sisters, let's make it crystal clear, because God made it clear, that he will not allow it. You shall not, the Bible says, commit adultery. Then we have those in our society today. As we talk about impurity, they think it's perfectly acceptable in God's sight to have sex outside of the marriage or before a marriage. Folks, this is called fornication. Have you ever heard of that word? Oh, I'm hitting some nerves. How many of us are involved in that? You know what? Well, it's okay. We love each other, Brother Jerry. No, you're nuts. That's what you are. If you are toying in your salvation with God because your emotions get a little high, there is something bad wrong. Do you understand? Do we clearly understand? So I'm doing this to tell you as your friend and as your minister, it has to stop. You can't continue this act because fornication, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. Those who practice such things didn't say may not, says will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? Do we understand and believe what God is saying? So we believe what God is saying. We understand what God is saying. No impurities going in heaven. Brothers and sisters, leave it alone. Galatians 5:19, the Bible says, now watch. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Here it is. It shows it. Which are adultery. Give me the next word. Uncleanliness and lewdness. And the list goes on, but God will not tolerate those who practice such things. God will not tolerate the Christian involved in a life of impurity. I go back to James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. He tells us what we are to do, doesn't he? He shows us, hey, if you're going to present yourself to me, to your Heavenly Father, it better be pure. Don't you bring me a contaminated life. Now, we can take it to Him when we go to the cross of that first round, can't we? We can take it to Him if we've erred from the truth and walked away from the righteousness of God. He wants us to bring that back to Him. But don't be playing Christian school. Don't be playing with Him on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then live any way you want to live through the week. Good grammar here, Chris. That ain't going to work. Okay? God does not accept that, does He? All right. Not only that, we have people today that young people, older people alike, spouse passes away, this person passes away, this person's in trouble, this divorce happened, that divorce happened, he's cute, she's cute, we're cute. So it doesn't hurt to just try to taste the milk from the cow before you buy the cow. Yes, it will send your soul and her soul to hell. Amen. You cannot engage yourself in sexual fornication. I don't know how much more clear I need to be. The Bible says it, leave it alone. Yes or no? All right, very good. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else that's now been perverted, sadly, throughout the world. What about our worship service in the world? What about the way so many people are worshiping our true God, but in a wrong way? Do you believe that happens today? In the book of John, chapter 4, down in verse 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him, give me the next word, must worship in spirit and in truth. So it warrants the question, doesn't it? Am I worshiping God in a way that He's accepting it? Am I worshiping God in a way that He's calling for it? Am I worshiping God in a way that He is pleased by worshiping our God? Today, many places in our worship to God, we know that He tells us how we are to worship God. He tells us the ways that we are to worship God. He tells us when we are to worship Him, when we are to come together to break bread and assemble with the saints. But sadly, there are countless folks in the religious world today that has added things to the worship service far beyond what the Scriptures tolerate. Does that make sense? We know that there are people today, and I love to hear ladies talk. I've been married to a precious lady for 43 years. I love to hear her talk. When it's just us, believe me, I hear her preach. But we can't allow her to preach in the pulpit, can we? Hello, church. Can we? All right. So there's no women preachers in the pulpit, not according to Scripture. But yet, you know what? We've got them just within 35 to 40 miles from here in a building called the Church of Christ. There's a woman leading the preaching service up there right now, right this very second. Isn't that bad? And then we got people within a 10-mile, 12-mile radius right now that's added musical instruments into the services of the Lord, into the worship service. I had a fellow at the funeral home a month ago said, oh, Jerry, you're crazy. I said, that's true. And so he just kind of looked at me. And he said, so you think a piano is going to send me to hell? I said, there'll never be a piano that'll send you to hell. No organ's going to send you to hell. No guitar's going to send you to hell. Misuse of those things will send you right to hell. Because the Bible says if you add to or take away from my word, the word of this prophecy, the plagues that are written in this book, I'll be added to you. Let me clear this up. There is nothing wrong with the musical instruments. Do you agree with that? I listen to it day and night. And I listen to gospel songs. There's people, Jerry, you shouldn't be doing that. You mind your own business. The reality is, I'll listen to my gospel music with musical instruments as much as I want to. However, I'll not engage it in the services of the Lord. I'll not call that a worship service. Do you understand? We're not going to bring that in here and set it up here and say, well, it's okay. No, it's not. Why is it not okay? Because there's people say, well, Jerry, it doesn't tell you that you can't have a piano organ. It doesn't tell me we can't have an alligator right here either, does it? It doesn't tell me that we can't make this into a roller skating rink inside of here. It doesn't say that. Here's the problem, Chris. It doesn't tell me that we can. Amen. It doesn't show one single example of people having musical instruments in our worship to church. So you know what? You do what you want to do, but I'm going to err on the side of safety. I'm a chicken. I'm a coward, but I love God. So when I faced God on judgment, I did what the Bible's calling me to do. If you want to gamble it, guess what? That's your soul, not mine. Amen? But remember this. The Bible tells us if we add to or take away from His Word, that is impurity, isn't it? It's not right. But there's people adding musical instruments. We're having women preachers and now church leaders. And here's another problem with these knuckleheaded preachers. They're not teaching the oracles of God anymore. I can't judge and say all of them are like that. But sometimes when I sit down and I just listen, oh, does it encourage me? Even if they're messing it up, even if they're doing things not according to the Bible, oh, it encourages me. It encourages me not to ever do what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not looking down on them. I'm looking up for them. I'm calling on God to bless them some way. Get into their heart. Get it fixed. When preachers today, Darlene, are preaching about themselves or to themselves only, when they're talking about themselves, what kind of degree they have, where they graduated, and how much money they got, and how long they've been here, when the service becomes about them, they're failing you already. Do you get that? This is about God and only about God. Sadly, we come to a worship service and we walk in, Brother Larry, with bags, just like you see people at Walmart. They come in with their buggy, just got their little shopping buggies out and they want to fill it up before they leave. Let me go in here and worship. Let me see what I get today. If you came in here for a bucket full, you're going to leave with nothing. Do you understand? Because we don't come in here to fill up your bucket. You didn't come here to get your bucket filled. You came here to worship Almighty God, didn't you? It ain't about what you get. It's about what you give. Not in the financial, but to give of your heart, to give your life, to give your devotion, to give everything about you to Almighty God, because He did not limit Himself when He gave us His Son. So don't limit yourself. Don't come in the worship service. There's been people in my 32 years that said some things on the way out the door. That's all right. I've had more arguments at the door than I ever have anywhere else. But people, I just didn't get anything. And I told you this before, and I'll share it with you again. I'm not bashful. Believe it or not, I'm not shy or bashful. But there are people that will walk out, I didn't get a thing out of that lesson. Didn't get a thing out of it. You didn't bring anything to put it in, did you? You walk in the door. You have the entitlement thing up on your shoulder. What can I get out of this? You're going to get exactly what you put into it. You understand what I'm saying? If you worship God, you're loving God, you're singing and making melody in your heart, you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, you've got an open heart for correction, knowing where you need that help, you're going to do well in your worship service. Honoring God, loving God, worshiping God, partaking of the Lord's Supper, praying, doing all the things that God has called us to do. When you leave the building, if you do it the right way, I guarantee you, I don't care who the preacher is, you're going to feel good about being at the church. Amen? But if you limit yourself and you limit God, you're going to leave discouraged. But we've got to have more and more preachers today. I don't care how many preachers are watching this over Facebook. I hope they are. We've got to have more preachers today to preach the oracles of God. You understand that? Preach what the Bible says. If it hits, there's been many sermons that I've preached from this pulpit over the last 8.5 years, and I left here mad at the preacher. Many times I've left here mad at the preacher. I didn't like what I had to tell. I didn't like what I had to preach about. You know, it really hit me. But you know what? When I'm putting the lesson together, when I was studying it, I'm like, man, I am in so much violation. But it helped me grow. That's the only thing I'm trying to do today, is to help you understand and me understand more clearly that impurity is not going to be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. We also have impurity in our outward conduct, don't we? We need to seriously be mindful of the example that we are setting for those that's watching our lives. We often default to people watching our lives, a coworker and our children, our spouse, and perhaps a neighbor. Did you know that the people that's watching your life and my life are the ones that you're not aware of? You think that? The people that you may not even be aware, your neighbor, when Chris and Courtney walk out of their house, their neighbor sees every single Sunday morning, well, there they go. She's got her Bible with her. He's carrying the little one. She's got this. He's got that. When we walked out, We used to come out of the side door and Loretta Alexander would be standing out there. As soon as we opened the door, I know where y'all are heading. You know what? I appreciated that. Not because I want to be a religious freak, as some people would call it, but when people recognize what you do and who you are and whose you are, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? But somebody's watching your life, and it's always going to be the one or two or three that you're not even aware that's watching you. Let's make sure that we do what the Scripture says in Matthew 5:16. I want you to say this with me. If you don't, we're going to go back and keep doing it. The Bible says, go with me, let your... You know what I love about being a minister? Is when a passage of Scripture kicks somebody right in the face, they don't say a word. And it's funny because I'm like, okay, that's the next one I'm praying for. So I sit back and I'm scanning over the congregation. Yeah, I'm judging it. I'm going right after it. But there were several that every time they'll quote other Scripture, but there's some that don't like that one. They'll go. I'm not talking about relaxing, darling. I'm talking about sucking their lips back in because they know they're in violation. What do I do when I find myself in violation? What do I do when I'm in? I kind of look down. You know why I look down? Because I'm ashamed that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Anybody else besides the preacher? Y'all got some liars up in here. The reality is, brothers and sisters, we've got to get it right. Let our conduct be respected and let it be respectful. Does that make sense? Listen to this. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, and I love the encouragement that Paul was giving to this young preacher. The Bible says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Watch this. Now listen who he told him to be an example in front of. To the believers in word and in what? Conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and give me the last word, in what? Purity. Very good. So he's telling him how to get his life squared away. Do it in purity. Impurity is not acceptable in God's eyes. The second point I want to examine this morning. We talk about impurity, not a Christian virtue. Say that with me. Impurity, not a Christian virtue. Please know, as we go back to the book of Mark, let me get over there. It's important that we share this together. Mark chapter 7, we're going to look at 21 through 23. Mark 7, 21 through 23. But here's your second point. Kind of a two-part thing in this one point. Ready? Where does impurity come from, and when does it begin? I think that's a pretty good question. Where does it come from, and when does it begin? Please, please know and understand that impurity comes from within the individual. I promise you, if you are practicing an impure life, nobody's put a gun to your head to make you do it, are they? Nobody is holding something against you to make you do it. They shouldn't be. When you are living and practice an impure life, that is coming from your heart. That is coming from your own desire, your own fleshly desire. And if we are doing things that satisfies our fleshly desire, we are in violation of 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. The lust of the Father, the lust of life, and the pride of life is not of the Father. This is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who abides in the will of God, the Bible says, you abide forever and ever. Amen, the Scripture says. So let's make sure that we are not in violation of that. Please know and understand that impurity comes from within the individual. I think about Mark 7, 21 through 23. The Bible says, watch this, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from, give me the next word, within. And what do they do to a fella? They defile a man. Exactly right. Why is it defilement? Because it's an impure thing. God will not accept defilement in heaven, will he? He's not going to allow us to do that. When mankind, listen to me, participates in things that go against God and His will, things that are not conducive with what the Scripture says, we are then filling ourselves with things that contaminate our heart. Oh, we have to be careful not to let things contaminate our heart, things that will debilitate our walk and our growth through Christ. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. How many of us get so wound up in a television show that has a different rating? rated R, or something even stronger? How many of us get involved in social media and begin to see things that we know is going against God's will? How many of us just continue to participate in that? How many of us listen to music that is suggesting adultery and sex and murder and thieving and drunkenness and all that? How many times we do that? And then we wonder, you've heard it a million times before, we wonder what's wrong with our society. We wonder why our children and our youth are growing up the way they are. Quit feeding them what you're feeding them. Amen? You know, if you feed them electronic world, they're going to live by the electronic world. You feed them social media, they're going to live by social media. You feed them the Word of God, they may not like it for a while, but you know what? It's going to be in there. They've digested some of it, haven't they? So make sure we're feeding our youth the way we should. And then adults, make sure that we're not throwing in the towel. It is a sad state of affairs today when you see someone as a mature adult, someone that was extremely faithful in the Lord's church, get to a certain age and then they start veering off the path. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about husbands who won't go to church anymore. We're talking about wives who's too lazy to get up off their duff and go to church. We're talking about children today that are so disrespectful to the parents, they dictate what mom and dad's going to do. I ain't going today. I can't do this. I don't feel good. I got a headache. Well, you're still going to school. I got a headache. I can't go to church today, but I bet you want to go to McDonald's, don't you? Get in that room and shut up. I'm probably not one of those good dads. Jerry hated me when he was growing up. You don't hate me more, do you? Okay. But say if you do, you're going to hell because the Bible says you got to love me. The reality is, we got to get back. We got to get a grip on things. Yes or no? All right. No impurity. Listen to me. We got to remember where it comes from. It comes from within. When does it begin? The very second that we start digesting this stuff, this impurity begins the very second that we allow Satan to rule our lives. Look what he did to Adam and Eve. Y'all remember Adam and Eve? You really do or don't? All right, good. Thank you. Courtney's like, yeah, Jerry, go. All right, so Adam and Eve, we remember Adam and Eve. Look what he did with this guy named Cain. What do y'all think Cain did? I know that he violated the IRS rule by not paying his taxes. I'm aware of that. What else did he do? He killed his brother. Do you think, Cynthia, that morning he just got up out of bed, he stretched, and he thought, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to have me some Kellogg's Cocoa Krispies, I'm going to get me some purity milk and pour in there, I'm going to stir it up. But Cain took it, didn't he? So I'm going to rise up and kill him? No, that's not what happened at all. He was in a rage. He was ticked off. He was furious. He was mad, but not even at his brother. He was mad at God, wasn't he? Because God had accepted his brother's sacrifice and not his offering. You following me? His brother's sacrifice, not his offering. So what happened? Murder came into the picture, didn't it? He allowed impure things to enter his mind. He was mad at God and took it out on his brother. How many of us today are acting like Cain? Oh, we're mad at a brother in Christ. We're mad at our biological brother or sister. We're mad at somebody else. So we're going to take it out on everybody. Oh, we're all guilty of that in some shape, form, or fashion, aren't we? Husband had a bad day. The wife's going to have it pretty rough when he gets home. The wife had a horrible day. Man ain't getting nothing to eat. And don't say hi more than twice. Or you did something wrong. Whatever you do, don't walk in with flowers. Because if you walk in with flowers, you go, here, honey, what'd you do? I didn't do a thing. My wife, because she's so precious, I walked in. Listen to this. True story. Amy, I'm telling you the truth. This happened. I had some beautiful flowers. I'm serious. You need to learn from this. Don't ever bring your flowers if you're hanging around me. It's not a good situation. So I walk in, Darlene, and I had this beautiful. She's over there getting ready to laugh now. And I had these beautiful flowers. I even took the green paper. Have y'all seen that green floral paper? And I took it from the flower shop at our funeral home. And I wrapped them all up real nice. And I walked in. I said, Paula, look what I have for you. I had these beautiful flowers. And her exact words were, they're nice, but I know you took them from a funeral. That really set me back. Because, seriously speaking, the truth really hurt. I did steal them from a funeral. But I didn't really steal them because that's wrong. The family just left all of them there as they went to the cemetery. And I, being the wonderful guy that I am, said, ma'am, are y'all going to take these? No, y'all can just take care of these. Well, immediately, instead of me passing them on to a live hospice or taking them somewhere that could really cheer somebody up, I was going to get some brownie points. Nothing wrong with that. Scripture doesn't say anything against that. It didn't work, brothers and sisters. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you because everybody knows the truth, don't they? God knows the truth. Cain rose up. He killed his brother, killing his own brother. What about this guy, Judas Iscariot? Anybody ever heard of him? He betrayed Jesus after Satan got into his heart in the form of greed. Not only did he betray his best friend with the kiss on the cheek, but what happened to Judas? He went out. He was weeping, pretty upset. What was his end result? Somebody tell me. Hung himself. He killed himself right on the spot. Anybody remember Peter and his denial of Jesus Christ? I will never deny you. Even if I have to die, I will not deny you. Satan filled his heart. He died, didn't he? Or not died. Satan filled his heart and he denied is one of the words I should use. Y'all know where I'm going next. Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. Ananias and Sapphira. What's it dude's name before? Chapter 4. Barnabas. Barnabas was doing really good over in Acts chapter 4 about helping the church, about selling some things, giving some things, whatever it was taking to help the church grow, to help the people of the church. Ananias and Sapphira, this is kind of a Jerry deal. I'm not 100% sure of this, but I feel like reading up on these two, Ananias and Sapphira heard about what was going on, and they were moved, if I may, to help. Nothing wrong with that. But I think that they were moved by the wrong motive. I think they perhaps, this is just my thought, perhaps they wanted a pat on the back, looking over at Barnabas and, hey, look what he's doing. Maybe when you do the same. So they went out and they sold land. And it was up to them on how much they wanted to give to the Lord. But the Holy Spirit knew that they were lying, right? And says, and y'all know the story, did you sell it for this much? Yep. Ananias, did you really sell it for that much? Mm-hmm. What happened to Ananias? Dropped dead. He ate at Crystal Restaurant. It was over. He died. What happened to Sapphira? Here she come in, Jared. She comes strolling in, always late. That was a problem in their marriage. She was always late everywhere they went. Sapphira comes strolling in. Hey, Sapphira. Now, I may be paraphrasing this just a little. Hey, Sapphira, come over here. So she went over there and said, hey, did you sell all that? Mm-hmm. Did you get this much for it? Yep. Are you giving me all of it? Mm-hmm. What happened to her? I like the hammer. That's perfect. Dead, right there on the spot. Gone, wasn't she? Do you think COVID got her? Think cancer got her? Think pneumonia got her? Lie got her, didn't it? Lie got her. Holy Spirit, lying to the Holy Spirit. Not to man, but to the Holy Spirit. Satan filled her heart, and boy, was there an expense to that. Do not give the devil a split second of your life. If you do, he'll take as much time as he wants and could take permanent residence in your heart. Do you understand me? Don't let him have 1 second. But what does that mean? When you see something suggestive on television, don't watch it another second. Turn it off. When you hear something very suggestive, some type of music, turn it off if it's something that's going to contaminate your mind. If somebody that you're associating with and you're starting to get the wrong type of thoughts toward that individual or about that individual or about a circumstance, get away. Amen. Evil company corrupts good morals or manners, the King James says. So let's be very, very careful and not allow these things to happen. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible gives us that warning that I bring up to you all the time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a... What's he trying to do? Very good. So let's all be sure that we stay busy, brothers and sisters. Stay busy in the vineyard of the Lord, because idleness is an open invitation for the devil to come in and visit. He did it with David over in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 4. You can visit that later today. But here David was, if he would have been out working with his people, out working with his soldiers, out doing what he should have been doing as a king, this wouldn't have happened. He had some idle time. That idle time, he went up on the rooftop of the king's house, didn't he? Looked over and he saw Mary Ann, the lady who used to play on Gilligan. You remember that? So he looked over and saw Bathsheba. What did he do with Bathsheba? Did he call for her? Did he lay with her? Then she said those dreaded words, I am with child. Did he try to cover up his sin? Didn't work too well, did it? When he tried to cover up his sin, we know now that he was in our system, he'd be charged with murder, wouldn't he? Accessory to murder. He had the boy murdered. And the fellow did no wrong. Idleness is a devil's workshop. Satan filled his heart with lust. He filled his heart with desire. and David failed miserably. Impurity comes from within, and it begins when we let our guard down. Is that fair enough? Third point, and this lesson's going home with you. And it's just a simple question. Probably going to leave most of that for you to answer. Is impurity dangerous? Is it dangerous? Well, it caused Sodom and Gomorrah. It caused those two cities, those impure cities, to be destroyed. It has caused families to rise up and bring forth death to a loved one. We looked at that a while ago with Cain. Impurity, tell me the truth, has it destroyed kings, nations, cities, families, marriages, congregations throughout the Lord's churches? Yes, and it is killing our youth on a daily basis. It is causing our older folks. Sadly, this is what's happening. This impurity, this sin is causing, listen to me, it's causing our older folks, people like me, to become relaxed and a little more passive regarding sin and its consequences. Let us be reminded of Romans 6:23. For the wages or your pay package for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are becoming too passive, congregation. You may not like it. I don't like it. But the reality we are. The things that happen in this congregation and in congregations throughout the world would not have been happening 20 years ago. Do you agree? The things that people say today inside of the church building, even though this is just brick and mortar, it's still a place where people come together to worship. The things that are said today in this building would never have been tolerated 25 years ago. But you know what? We today are under pew pressure, Teresa. You've heard me say that before. We preachers and church leaders, we're under pew pressure. We're so worried about the numbers of people sitting on the pews and sitting on the bench. We better refocus. Quit worrying about the number of people sitting on the pews and worry about the number of people that need to go to heaven. You understand? Let's get with it, all of us. And it begins with not you. It begins with me. Then it begins with you and you and you and you and you. We all have a responsibility. We getting this? All right. Matthew 25, verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Is impurity dangerous? Yes, it is. We see it over and over and over. When folks today practice sin, sins of commission, sins of omission, they both have the same consequences. I preached a lesson to you about 4 years ago. Perhaps I actually preached it twice here. It's not what you did, it's what you... Well, I know I can't even redo that lesson here. But it's not what you did, it's what you didn't do. And we looked at that. We had two responses that morning as well. But it's not what you did that was so bad, it's just what you didn't do that was so bad. And that's what we better be remembering about today. They have the same consequences on eternity in hell, separated from God, in a place of everlasting turmoil, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, those who rejected Jesus Christ. Yes, impurity is extremely dangerous to your soul. So, you and I know, we know clearly now, that impurity is very dangerous to our soul. What then is the cure as we close? Very simple. The cure is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father, say it, except through me. I appreciate so much what Jared brought to us a while ago. And let's close with this. Go to Matthew 11. We're going to do it 28 through 30. If you're struggling with these things, you need to get a response going in your life. You've got to make sure things are right. Let me remind you again, God will not tolerate impurity. He's not going to allow it in heaven. Get it fixed. So what is the answer to this impurity? What is the answer to that? Jesus Christ. We know the wages of sin is death. We know that Jesus Christ is the answer. And He's inviting everyone to come to me. Watch this. The Bible says, come to me, all you are heavy laden. Watch this. All you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a promise from who? From Jesus Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is simply saying, if you realize you know what impurity is, but you know in your heart, just like your preacher knows, that we're just weak vessels. We need the prayers of the congregation. We need more strength. Recognize, number one, recognize the error in your life. Amen. Recognize who the enemy is. Recognize what he's trying to feed into our system. And recognize sometimes not just the devil is our enemy, but sometimes we are our own enemy. I need help. I petition this congregation every single week. Pray for me. Pray that I'll be a better preacher, a better dad, a better grandfather, a better friend, a better brother in Christ. I want to do better. I want to be a better servant of Almighty God. Amen? So I'm not ashamed to stand here and tell you that I need your help. If you need help today, ask for it. If you don't ask for it and you walk out of the building and you're just so stubborn and stiff-necked about asking your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, then there's way more problems in your life. There's a lot bigger issue going on than what you may think. But it can be resolved today. If you're not a Christian, hear God's word, believe, repent, confess, make upon that confession, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed. So today, if you are a Christian, but you've walked away from the fold of safety, you're not doing what God's calling you to do, you've got some struggles, just need a little help, let us know. We'll pray with you, for you, help you any way that we can. Come now, together.